The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on September 5th, 1998, in Moscow.
Shri Sutapada Kamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha.
Today is the very auspicious occasion of the disappearance of Srila Haridas Thakur. This morning I have heard that by his very kind mercy, His Holiness Srila Bhaktivrinda Govinda Maharaj narrated to you the beautiful pastime of the disappearance of Srila Thakur Haridas. Haridas Thakur's glories are unlimited. On many occasions, even the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spoke of his glories as if he had hundreds of mouths. What can this one little tiny insignificant mouth do to properly glorify such a great personality? But as a bird tries to reach as high as he can into the unlimited sky, similarly for our own purification, we will try to speak something of the wonderful topics of the life of Srila Haridas Thakur. In fact, it is described in the Shastra that one who attentively hears with a submissive heart the qualities of Haridas Thakur will very soon meet Lord Chaitanya personally and will achieve love for Krishna. My humble request, let us dive into this ocean of transcendental nectar. The story of Haridas Thakur's descent into this world is described the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti, as well as by Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his Navadvip Mahatmya. There it is explained how at the time of Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma, wanting to see who this little cowherd boy is who killed Agasura, he stole the cowherd boys and the calves from Krishna as he was taking prasad with them on bank of Jamuna. He put them in a state of mystic sleep. After 1 year he came back. He saw all the same boys and calves were still with Krishna playing. Because Krishna expanded himself to an identical form of each cowherd boy and each calf. So much so that even their own mothers could not tell that it was someone different. The only difference was that their mothers, their fathers, their friends, they loved their calf or their cowherd boy more than they ever loved it before. In fact, they experienced the same ecstasy as when they were seeing Krishna directly. When Lord Brahma came down, he saw there were all the calves and there were all the children with Krishna. Then he looked at the place where he hid them. They were still sleeping. Then he came back to Vrindavan and they were with Krishna. He was completely bewildered. How is this possible? Then in his bewildered state, each calf and each boy manifested the beautiful form of Forearm Narayan. One was being worshipped by the gods and by the great sages. Then he was very much bewildered. All those tens and thousands of boys and calves disappeared, and there was only Krishna, who had a lump of yogurt mixed with fruit in his hands, searching for his friends. Brahma was very much ashamed. due to my false pride, I was thinking, because I'm such a great creator of the universe, that I could test God. He surrendered to Krishna, offered beautiful prayers. One of the things he said is, just like a lightning bug, a firefly, can give lots of light in the night, but in the presence of the sun, that light is insignificant. Similarly, in the darkness of ignorance, I am thinking, I am Brahma, the creator. But in your presence, my Lord, I realize I am simply insignificant. So Krishna forgave him and sent him back to Brahmaloka. But after that, Lord Brahma came to Navadvip because he felt so bad that he made this offense to Lord Krishna. He performed tapasya to worship Lord Chaitanya because he knew in Kali Yuga this is the place that Krishna appears. After many days, Lord Chaitanya appeared before him. Lord Chaitanya said, "O Brahma, I have come. I am pleased with your austerities." Lord Brahma offered his prostrated obeisances before the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was standing with his beautiful, beautiful golden form. He was chanting the holy names of Krishna. He placed his foot on Brahma's head. Then Lord Brahma began to offer prayers. He had said, "I am so low and I am so proud. Because I'm the creator of the universe and the father of everyone in the universe, I think I'm very great. And because of that pride, I offended you and your devotees. If I was really fortunate, instead of being the creator of the universe, I would be a simple cowherd boy playing with you. This false pride is very, very dangerous. But in your future appearance as Lord Gauranga here in Navadvip, I do not want to make the mistake again. So please give me the benediction that I can give up my post as Brahma and take birth in a very low family so that I can truly engage in your humble service." Lord Chaitanya was very, very pleased by the humility of Brahma's desire and gave him a benediction. He said, "When I appear in the age of Kali, in this great place of Sri Mayapur Dham, you will be one of my most intimate associates. You will take birth in a family that is socially rejected as an outcast, untouchable family. And your name will be Srila Haridas Thakur. In this birth, you will be constantly chanting the holy names. Minimum 300,000 names you will chant every day. And you will spread the glories of the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, all over the world by your example. You will be a genuinely humble servant of the servant of my servants." Then he told Brahma, "I want to tell you a very secret. In the age of Kali, I am going to appear in the guise of my own devotee. And I am going to spread love of God through the Harinam Sankirtan movement. In order to understand Srimati Radharani's love, I, Lord Krishna, is going to appear with the love and the complexion of Srimati Radharani through the congregational chanting of the holy names to give that love to the whole world. This is a great secret. And because I am revealing this secret to you here, Lord Brahma, the name of this place will be called Antardweep, the place where the secret was revealed." Then he told Lord Brahma to go back to Brahmaloka and come back in order to assist him in his form of Haridas Thakur. So Srila Haridas Thakur appeared in this world in the Budan district of Bengal. Although he was born in the environment of Malechas and Yavanas, from his earliest childhood, he had a natural, spontaneous attachment to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. He was such a very, very great devotee of Krishna. When he was just a young man, by his influence, he was transforming people's hearts by inducing them to chant the holy names of Krishna. It is described that at one time, when he was just a young man, he was living in an area near Benapole. There he constructed a little thatched hut, and every day he would chant his 300,000 names of Krishna and worship Tulsi. By his influence, so many people were coming and taking shelter of his lotus feet. But it is the nature of this world that when one becomes very prominent and effective in spreading Krishna consciousness, then envious people try to destroy you. There was a very wealthy landowner named Ramchandra Khan. In those days, the title for a landowner was a zamindar. He was a Brahmin, and he could not tolerate that Haridas Thakur was getting so much fame and worship from others. His heart burned with envy. He committed himself to destroying Haridas Thakur's reputation. He called the most beautiful of the prostitutes of that area to meet with him. He told them his plan. He personally selected the most beautiful of all the young ladies, who was expert at inducing men toward sexual attractions. She said, "No problem. I will go there, and I will certainly make him fall prey to my beauty." Ramchandra Khan was ready to send his military police with her. She said, "Let me be alone the first night and enjoy union with him, and then the next night you can arrest him with your police." So she went, and she came just in the evening when it was becoming dark. She bowed down before Tulsi. She bowed down before Haridas Thakur. Haridas was chanting. And then she began to make various poses with her body that would bewilder even the greatest philosophers. And she spoke. She said, "Oh, my dear Thakur, you are such a young and handsome man, and I am such a beautiful young woman, and my heart is burning with attraction for you. I have come here for only one purpose, to surrender to you. You are such a great devotee. You are such a saintly person, and you are so handsome and young and strong. And we are all alone together at night. There is no one else around. I beg you that it is the will of Providence that we have union together. I cannot accept anyone else but you. If you refuse me, I will have to give up my life." Haridas Thakur, with great compassion, looked upon her. He said, "I will surely fulfill your desire. But first I must complete my vow of chanting. You just wait here and let me go on with my chanting, and when I complete my vow, then I will fulfill your desire." He went on chanting throughout the entire night. He was all alone with this beautiful, beautiful woman. She was exposing various parts of her body in such an expert way. However, Haridas Thakur's mind was completely immersed in the higher taste of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When the sun rose in the morning, the prostitute bowed down and left. She reported to Ramchandra Khan that he promised me he would fulfill my desires. He just hasn't finished his rounds yet. She came the next day at night. She bowed down to Tulsi and Haridas. Haridas Thakur said, "I am very sorry that I have to chant 10 million names this month. Haridas explained, but I will certainly fulfill my vow. You just be patient and sit here and wait and listen to me as I am chanting. He chanted all night long. The sun rose. She bowed down and went home. She came back the third night. Haridas Thakur said, I'm sorry, but I still haven't completed my rounds. But tonight for sure I will complete them. And I will satisfy your desire. So she sat and listened to the chanting. During the night she started chanting along with Haridas. The whole night passed again. By the morning she was completely purified. She paid her obeisances to Haridas. She said, oh, Haridas Thakur, you are such a great personality that you have purified my heart by your chanting. I am so sinful and evil that on the order of Ramchandra Khan, I came here to destroy you. But by being in your association for 3 nights, now my desire is to surrender to you and accept you as my spiritual master. Haridas Thakur said, yes, I know this ignorant fool Ramchandra Khan wanted to destroy me and sent you. On that very night, I was about to go chanting. However, I decided to stay 3 extra days only to deliver you. Now you should go home and give away all the wealth that you earned through prostitution to the Brahmins and the poor. I am leaving this place today so you can live in my little hut and chant the names of the Lord 300,000 times a day. Do not worry about how you will eat or survive. Krishna will provide everything for you if you surrender to his name. That terribly sinful prostitute gave everything she had away. She came back to that hut with only one cloth to wear. And she only ate what people would give to her. She worshipped Tulsi and chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day. She even shaved her beautiful hair. And she became very famous. Even great Vaishnava sages and rishis would come for her darshan. She was such a pure devotee. Through this process, she made Haridas Thakur even millions of times more popular and glorious. But Ramchandra Khan, he sowed the seed of his own destruction by this offense. Although a devotee is very eager to forgive anyone for their offenses, Krishna is very angry when we offend his devotees. So on another occasion, after this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was traveling from Puri because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to preach in Bengal. During his preaching tour, he came to that town. And he came to the courtyard of Ramchandra Khan, where there was an area called the Durga Mandap, a place of worship of Goddess Durga. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat there, and many people came to see him. Lord Ramchandra Khan was envious that a Vaishnava was getting so much respect. He would not even come to meet Nityananda Prabhu himself to welcome him to his house. Instead, he sent his servant with a message. And the message was that this courtyard of mine is not big enough for you and all of your followers. You should not stay here. You should stay in the cow shed with the cows. There's more space there, so leave. Nityananda Prabhu started to laugh, angry laugh. You are correct, this is not fit for me. This is only fit for meat eaters. And then he left the whole village. But Ramchandra Khan was a crooked man and he cheated on his taxes. The Malecha tax collector chief came to his place, right in his courtyard as well as in his home. He slaughtered animals and cooked them and ate their flesh. And then he tortured Ramchandra Khan and his whole family. Imprisoned them, took away all their wealth. took away all their property, and they did the same thing to everyone in the village. For 3 days, this man with his soldiers simply tortured, beat, and plundered all the wealth of everyone in the village of Ramchandra Khan. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, this is the result of one who offends Vaishnavas. Not only does that person suffer, but anyone associated with that person. Very well. So we should be careful not to offend Vaishnavas. So, after this, Haridas Thakur traveled to a place called Channipur. And there, a very, very great devotee lived. His name was Balaram Acharya. And his dear friend was Yadunandan Acharya. They were the priests of Hiranya and Govardhan Madhu Madar, who were very, very, very wealthy, very pious, and very great devotees. In fact, they funded a large portion of the preaching of all the devotees in Bengal. Govardhan, the younger brother, had a son named Raghunath Das. He later became known as Raghunath Das Goswami. While Haridas Thakur was there, Balaramacharya and the others would go to meet Haridas, who lived in a little cave-like place. And they would bring the little child, Raghunath Das, with them. Due to this regular association with Haridas Thakur, Raghunath Das, he became so much attracted to Krishna consciousness that he had no desire whatsoever for anything of this material world. So one day, Govardhan and Hiranya Madhu Madar invited Haridas Thakur to an assembly of scholars. They wanted him to enlighten them in the great glories of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. When he came, they introduced him. In the introduction, they were glorifying him so much that this man chants 300,000 times the name of Krishna every day. And one who chants the holy name of the Lord can become free of all sins and achieve liberation from all material bondage. Haridas Thakur then spoke. He said, these two goals that you are talking about are not the real purpose of chanting the holy names. To be free of sins and to achieve liberation from material bondage are not very important. The real goal of chanting the holy name of Krishna is to achieve pure, unmotivated, unalloyed love for Krishna. Then he quoted a verse that just as before the sun rises, at the end of the night, there is all the darkness is dispelled. Similarly, even before we come to that stage of pure, offenseless chanting of the holy name, when we come close to the offenseless state of chanting of the holy names, then all our sins are removed and we achieve liberation from all material bondage. At that time, a very beautiful and learned scholar named Gopal Chakravarti became furious with Haridas Thakur's statement. He stood up and started shouting, "What nonsense are you talking? You are blaspheming the liberated state of mukti. Only after millions and millions of births can one achieve liberation from material bondage. And you are saying that it's just a simple byproduct of the chanting of the holy names? If one cannot achieve such a byproduct through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, then I will personally cut off your nose, Haridas." Haridas said, "Why are you saying like this? I'm only repeating what's in the scriptures. According to the Shastra, compared to the ocean of pleasure that one derives from the ecstasy of love of Krishna, the pleasure derived from impersonal liberation is like the amount of water contained in a hoof print of a calf." And then Haridas said,
if one cannot achieve love of God by chanting, and if that love of God is not so much superior to impersonal liberation, then I will cut off my own nose.
So then the devotees, Govardhan and Hiranya, Balaramacharya,
they were so angry with Gopal Chakravarti. We have invited such a great saintly person and you are making aparads to him? Get out of here. Not only did they kick him out, but they fired him. They removed him from all of his services to the government.
Haridas Thakur said, no, please don't disturb him. Let us just go on with our meeting. I do not mind what he has said.
He may be ignorant, but I don't mind.
A devotee is always forgiving for offenses against himself. But Krishna is not. Gopal Chakravarti was very young and handsome. Within a few days, he got leprosy. And his beautiful nose got cut off from the leprosy. And his hands, his fingers, were beautiful like the buds of a champak flower. Fingers and nose melted away due to the leprosy. And everyone could understand the wonderful power of Haridas Thakur's devotion to Krishna. So Haridas Thakur, he left that place and he went to Shantipur, the place where Advaitacharya was living. Advaitacharya was so happy to meet Haridas. The bliss that is derived when two great Vaishnavas meet is the most wonderful exchange in the whole creation. They were embracing one another and crying together and dancing and chanting. Advaitacharya arranged for a nice little cave for Haridas Thakur to stay. And that place is called Phulia. There are many, many wonderful pastimes that Haridas Thakur manifested in Phulia Gram. But one more pastime that just before he came to Phulia, he was living in a cave. Many saintly people would come to meet him. But it was intolerable for them to remain in the cave because there were these flames coming out of the cave and it had such poisonous effect that people couldn't even breathe. They were wondering, what is this? So they went and began to ask various physicians. The physicians came to the cave. They saw the flames. They said, there is a deadly, poisonous snake living in that cave. And the poisons are creating this fire. Very dangerous. Haridas Thakur must leave this cave immediately. So the devotees came to Haridas and said, there's a very terrible snake living in your cave. We cannot even breathe. He's giving out so much poison and you're here 24 hours a day just chanting. You should leave this place. Haridas said, I did not notice that there's any flames or poison. Haridas Thakur was so immersed in chanting the Maha Mantra, he didn't even notice this most miserable poison suffocating everyone around him. But if you are disturbed to come here, then I say on this very evening that if the snake is not gone by tomorrow, I will leave the cave and go to another place. At that very moment, the snake came out of his hole. Huge serpent! He was black, white, and yellow in color. And he had a big jewel on his head. And there was fire coming out of that jewel and effulgence. He looked so terrible and dangerous that all the Brahmins and devotees were struck with fear. That serpent crawled past Haridas, past all the Brahmins, and out of the cave into the evening twilight, never to return. Immediately after he left, all the flames disappeared and everyone could breathe very nicely. Because Krishna, in the heart of that serpent, wanted to show that even a serpent honors and respects such a great acharya as Haridas Thakur. So while Haridas was living in Phulia, he was chanting very loudly, Hare Krishna.
And so many people were becoming devotees by hearing his chanting and seeing his example. People from all around, both the Brahmins as well as the common people, they worshipped him as such a merciful, compassionate giver of love of God. He did not discriminate who he would give love of God to and who he wouldn't. He would give the holy name to everyone. Although he was loved by the people, some of the Brahmins were very envious of him. He was taking away their customers who were giving donations. And also the Qazi, who was a Muslim governor. He was very angry at Haridas. Because not only was Haridas transforming the Hindus into pure devotees of Krishna, but even the Muslims were to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. This Qazi went to the king of the Muslims and said, this Haridas Thakur is a terrible person. He's destroying all the traditions and the religion of our nation. You must pass judgment upon him and punish him. So the king told the soldiers, you arrest Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, while chanting the holy names, very happily came to the king's prison. Meanwhile, the prisoners were very eager to have his darshan. Most of the prisoners were very pious and saintly people who were just arrested because they were practicing Hindu religion publicly. But they were suffering in the jail cell. So time and again they were begging the guards, just let us for a moment have the darshan of this great saintly person, Haridas Thakur. When he came to the prison, all the prisoners gathered around him. They bowed so humbly at his lotus feet. With eyes full of love, they looked at the beautiful form of Haridas. With folded hands and open hearts, they just begged him for mercy. When Haridas saw all these prisoners in such humble surrender to his feet, he said, today I will give you a benediction. Remain as you are now. May you always be just as you are now. The prisoners became very unhappy. They wanted benediction to get out of prison. He gave benediction, stay as you are now. Then Haridas spoke. He said, please do not be unhappy with my benediction. It is a very good benediction. What is your situation now? You are completely fixed in humility, devotion, and surrender to the Lord. You are completely receptive to the chanting the holy names of the Lord. You are without any pride or prestige. This is the perfection of life. This is how we attain love of Krishna. Therefore, my benediction is you always remain so humble, so surrendered, so submissive, and so fixed in the chanting of God's name as you are now. Do not become attached to material sense gratification. Do not become attached to people who are too much attached to sense gratification. Associate with sincere devotees and chant Harinam. And within 2 or 3 days, you will be released from this prison. The prisoners were very happy. Then Haridas Thakur walked into the chambers of the king of the Malechas. When the Qazi and the other guards saw Haridas, they were struck by his incredible beauty. They spoke, Haridas, you were born in a very high-class Muslim family. Why are you such a fool that you are engaging in the low-class, untouchable activities of a Hindu? What benefits do you think you will gain by giving up your own sacred religion to follow another low-class religion? When Haridas heard this, he began to laugh very loud. Aha! Just see the illusory potency of Maya that is being controlled by Vishnu upon these people. Just see how Vishnu has covered them with illusion. He said this to the king. He said, there is only one God. And that one God is the God of all religions. The one God that is praised in the Vedas and the Puranas is the same God that is praised and glorified in your Quran. There may be many differences in the form of the worship of the God between the Muslim and the Hindu faith. However, it's the same God that is being worshipped. And that one supreme God has many names. And that one supreme God is the supreme creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists. He is absolute, and he knows everything everywhere. He is seated in everyone's heart, and to love him is the ultimate supreme goal of life. Why do you think there is different gods of different religions? This is a great illusion. But the Lord within everyone's hearts gives people, according to his own desire, particular types of faith. And since my birth, the Lord in my heart has induced me with an endless attraction to chant the holy names of Krishna. Therefore, I cannot stop chanting the name of Krishna. It is the will of the Lord within my heart. The king said, Haridas, we will have to punish you if you speak like this. Haridas said, if a Hindu Brahmin converts to become a Muslim, you should give me the same punishment that that person should get. The Qazi said, he should be killed, he should be punished. The king said, Haridas, if you just practice your own religion and stop preaching this chanting of the names of Krishna, we will release you. Haridas Thakur said, you can cut my body into thousands and millions of pieces, but you can never get me to stop chanting the holy name of Krishna or preaching the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. If you chop my body into millions of pieces, every piece will be chanting Hare Krishna. Then Qazi became very angry. He said he must be killed. He should be beaten to death in the 22 marketplaces of Phuliagram. And if he lives, then I will accept that he's a saintly person. Then they called the military guards, big, powerful men who were trained for years just to torture and murder people. They dragged Haridas Thakur into the streets, shouting all sorts of aparads and offensive language against him. They began to beat him and beat him with sticks. Soon there was a crowd of people around. The people of the town could not tolerate what they were seeing. Some of them jumped to fight with these guards. They were not successful. Others fell at the feet of these guards, begging, crying, please stop hitting this man. He's an innocent person. What has he done? Others were crying out for a saintly person like this to be treated in such a cruel way. Our whole village will be destroyed. The townspeople were crying, weeping, and pleading, please do not hurt him. But they continued to brutally beat him and beat him and beat him. Thoroughly beat him in one marketplace. Then they cruelly dragged him to the next marketplace and beat him and beat him again. They cruelly dragged him to the next marketplace and beat him and beat him. Shouting, beating, terrible scene. But through it all, Haridas Thakur was very compassionately looking upon them and never stopped chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They beat him all day long. At the end of the 22nd marketplace, their arms were so exhausted they could not even beat him anymore. They did not know what to do. They said, Haridas, no one has ever lived beyond 2 to 3 marketplaces of being beaten. We have beat you with all of our strength in all 22 marketplaces and you are still living. You never even showed signs of pain. In fact, the only pain that was in your eyes was it looked like you felt sorry for us. Because we are unable to kill you, therefore the Qazi is going to have us killed.
Haridas Thakur said to them that, oh, my being alive will be a disturbance to your life?
You just watch and see how I end my own life.
Then Haridas lay down and entered into a state of samadhi. No pulse, no breath, no beat in his heart. He was physically dead. The guards picked him up and threw him at the door of the king's palace. The king and the Qazi were very happy he is dead. So the king said, now you should bury him. The Qazi said, no, no, he should not be buried. Muslims are buried. If he's married, he will attain paradise. He should be thrown into the river, and there he will have to suffer hellish existence eternally. So they went to pick him up to throw him in the river. But his body was heavy like a mountain. However many people tried to pick him up, he could not be lifted. This was a great wonder. Then he assumed his normal weight. And like a piece of garbage, they just threw him in the river Ganges. So Haridas floated in the Ganga for some time, going up and down due to the waves. Then he came to his external consciousness. He came out of the Ganga. He started loudly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
He went right into the town of Phulia. There the king and the Qazi and the guards who beat him saw him. He was very happy. He was dancing in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna. The king fell at his lotus feet, begged, please, now I understand that you are truly a saintly person. Please forgive me. Then the Qazi and all the guards, they all fell at his feet and surrendered to him and begged for forgiveness. Haridas Thakur forgave them, and he just went on loudly chanting. Then he came to a group of great Brahmins and devotees. He sat down amongst them. They asked, Haridas, why did this happen to you? You're such a great devotee. Haridas Thakur said, because I heard the blasphemy of Krishna's name and devotees, because I heard that blasphemy with my ears, I deserved thousands of times more punishment. But because I am so fallen and helpless and Krishna is so merciful, he reduced the suffering I deserve for hearing the blasphemy of the Lord's name and devotees by just giving me a little tiny sample of only getting beaten in these 22 marketplaces. This was the humility of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur did not think, oh, it was somebody else's fault. But rather he thought, I deserve worse. This is the mood of a true devotee. Not to blame others. To accept the mercy of Krishna with a very grateful heart. So on another time when Haridas was living in Phulia, there was a snake bite physician. And he was singing the glories of Krishna. How Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya. And this man was very mystical. He was so much a great devotee of snakes that the king of snakes, Vasuki, used to sing through him and dance through him. On this particular day, he was dancing and dancing and dancing in great joy while singing the glories of Krishna dancing on Kaliya. Haridas Thakur happened to come walking by. When he heard the story of Krishna dancing on Kaliya's hoods, he became so ecstatic in love of Krishna that he fell unconscious. Then he got up and started rolling on the ground. Tears poured from his eyes. His hair stood on end. His body trembled.
all the 8 symptoms of ecstatic love simultaneously took residence in his body. The snake charmer stood off to the side with great love and devotion, folded palms, worshipping Haridas Thakur. Then there was a Brahmin. This Brahmin was very envious. He was thinking in his heart, I am a Brahmin. I'm learned in the Shastra. I'm a great soul. And this man is a low class, outcast, untouchable. And just because he falls in the ground, everybody's thinking he's so great. If a low-class, untouchable person can get the worship of so many people by falling on the ground and rolling around like this, what to speak of how they will worship me? So Haridas left, and the snake charmer again started to dance and sing. Then the Brahmin fell to the ground as if he were unconscious. Immediately the snake charmer grabbed this Brahmin by the neck, picked up a stick and started beating him and beating him, and he kept beating him and beating him, beat him again till his whole body was beaten, crying for help. But he could not escape. He continued to beat him. Finally, the Brahmin got away and ran. Then the snake charmer started singing and dancing again. People were very confused. They asked him, what have you done? Why, when Haridas fell down, you were worshipping him, and when this Brahmin fell down, you beat him? At that time, Vasuki, the king of the serpents, spoke through his mouth. He said, Haridas Thakur is a very humble and pure devotee. He was honestly and genuinely absorbed in love for Krishna. But this so-called Brahmin was simply envious of Haridas Thakur. Due to his false pride, he wanted to be worshipped. Therefore, I had to beat him. Haridas Thakur is so worshipable, constantly immersed in the chanting of the holy names. He's completely immersed in humble devotion. Even Krishna glorifies Haridas Thakur. Then all the people of Phulya understood, who is this Haridas Thakur? One day when Haridas was in his cave, he was chanting. The night came. Maya Devi herself wanted to test him. Do you know how powerful Maya is? She is Krishna's own external energy. And how she keeps people in illusion birth after birth after birth is great wonder. No one, however learned or powerful they may be, can possibly escape from the illusions of Maya. Daivi yeshu guna mayi mama maya adoratye. Only by the mercy of Krishna can we be free from Maya. There's no other power that can save us but Krishna himself. So the entire Maya potency that is keeping every living entity in all the universes and the whole creation bound by illusion personified herself in one form, the form of a woman. Now, we may be attracted to some little tiny woman or man in this world, and we become mad after that. What makes us so mad? Intoxicated, we can't even forget it. That's just an insignificant, tiny little particle of a drop from the unlimited ocean of Maya's potencies. Can you imagine if all the power of Maya was in the form of one woman before you? Please do not try to imagine.